This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure,
direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
And Fred, of all of those wonderful things, what are we celebrating today, specifically?
Well, we're celebrating a little bit of culture. We're celebrating a lot of people and places and some events, I guess.
History!
Well, history too. We're doing everything today.
Yes, we are.
We do everything every week. You know, we can.
You do everything every week. I'm more of a niche guy.
Yeah, that's right. So we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com where you can check out Jeffrey's niche and follow us on Twitter.
Easy, Fred.
Like us on Facebook. And you can actually download the show. Actually, you can download the last 25 shows on iTunes. You can subscribe, but you can also download every single show that exists that we've ever created except for a couple that we won't talk about.
Right. No, only one. Well, there's only one we don't really want to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's true. There's one. It's our reminder. So if you want to check out pictures of our guests, things that we've been doing, links to all sorts of community events, go to fredandjeff.com. Now, speaking of community events, there's a lot of stuff coming up, and we got to remind people this week starts Danes in the Desert, and there's all sorts of stuff going on, mostly around Copenhagen on Fort Lowell. But if you go to danesinthedesert.com, and you can check out all the calendar events. There's a soccer game, Mexico versus the Danes.
Mexico?
Yeah, Mexico versus the Danes.
Were you even here for that show? Canada.
Oh, Canada. Yeah, Canada. No, Mexico's playing. There's like another tournament.
No. Move along, Fred.
All right.
The Danish and the Canadians
are
playing.
Yeah, but the Mexicans are coming in, too.
There's other
teams coming in.
Right, other things, right. But that's nothing to do with Danes in the Desert.
No, but you're right.
But there's a lot of professional and world-class soccer going to be played here
Football.
In Tucson. Football. Football, that's right.
So Danes in the Desert, check that out. There's a lot of stuff going on.
And they're
going
to bring the Danish national dance team in to be at the Pima College West.
That's right.
Super
well,
fun.
They're actually dancing all over the city, and that's why you need to go to danesinthedesert.com to find out where these guys are going to be,
right.
Because they're doing several events. At the Loft Theater, they're doing a Miyazaki. That's right. Miyazaki.
Okay, keep going.
They're doing a Miyazaki retrospective, and I think right now they're showing Spirited Away.
Right.
invite people to go to that. Let's move out of Tucson for a while. The 4th Annual Tombstone Wild West Days is going on, and they're actually, there's a lot of free events, but that's supporting and celebrating the military folks in Arizona.
Right.
The 21st Cochise County Cowboy Poetry and Music Gathering.
Super fun.
Is happening in Sierra Vista. And Puppets Among Us, Jeffrey. There are Puppets Among Us. They are showing The Silken Thread, which is the legend of how silk was discovered. And that's happening on February 2nd and 3rd. They're going to have little short sideshows, music, and they're going to have some dragon-making crafts for the kids.
Well, and I have to tell you, we went to the last Puppets Among Us, took the kids. It was outstanding. And I want to let everybody know, get there early because seating is limited. You cannot buy pre-tickets. You got to get there because you do not want to have a family of four roll in and only have two seats available. So make sure you get there to the Puppets Among Us early. Go to the website. Puppets Among Us was a guest on our show not too long ago.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a better idea of what they are and what they do, check out one of our the Puppets Among Us show with Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, we have something coming up, I think, this weekend at the Valley of the Moon.
The Valley of the Moon.
Where kindness reigns.
Yes. Can I just throw one thing in before we go to the Valley of the Moon?
Well, if it's going to be about Angus McDougall, he's not here today.
I know. I'm bummed about that. No, but... The weather has been crazy. 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, it was 18 degrees. This last week, it was in the mid-70s, almost got to 80. Then towards the end of the week, it's raining, and today here it is beautiful again.
Yep.
So it is definitely trying to be spring around here, which means one thing. Well, actually kind of meant one thing a long time ago, a couple years ago, but it still means one thing on a couple of days in March. Spring training baseball.
Yeah, actually, there's going to be a couple of games.
That's right. And Mike Fader over with the Tucson Padres has already announced that the Cubs are playing the Dodgers, which is a big fundraiser for the Christine Taylor Green Memorial Fund. So get your tickets to that game because they're already on sale and you don't want to be left out in the cold.
That's right.
With the limited number of spring training games we're going to have here in Tucson.
And also, you know, we have all the stuff that, you know, we try and talk about the unique things that people don't know a whole lot about, but we also have the rodeo coming up, the parade.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's, you know,
the World Golf Championship.
The Accenture tournament.
All that good stuff next month.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of stuff's going on, but hopefully...
The Go Red, you know, there's a big Go Red event at Desert Diamond Casino where they're, you know, fighting against heart disease in women. So there's just all kinds of stuff. Remember last week our guest, Mia Hansen, who was the outgoing executive director for Tucson Meet Yourself, was saying that there's like 400 events that happen in Tucson, and a ton of them happen in February, March, April, and May.
Right.
Well, it started.
Yes. So there's tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just like, you know, highlighting the stuff that people, you know, we
might not hear about.
Yeah, and we encourage people to go check out these little niche things.
Meet your neighbors.
Yeah.
Speaking of meet your neighbors,
we get back to it.
We got a couple of neighbors in the studio with us today.
Yeah, I'll let you take care of this.
Well, so, and folks, those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you're familiar with the Valley of the Moon, the Tucson's magical fairyland, which we both just absolutely adore. And today we've got a couple of fellas from the Valley of the Moon who have come up with a new idea. And we've got Tony Zinman and Zach. And Zach, I'm sorry to get your last name.
Jarrett. Yes.
All right. So, Tony, give us an idea of what is going on at the Valley of the Moon.
Well, every first Saturday of the month, we try to keep the Valley of the Moon open to an event because it's such an incredible property and such a great experience. They like to keep it open to the public as much as we can. And Zach and I both, I've been going there for many years, taking my son to all their incredible shows.
Right.
And we've always loved it.
And you guys got involved in the incredible shows not too long ago.
Well, we went to see their Monty Python Holy Grail show, my son and I, last summer. And we were talking to Angus, and he's like, you guys should volunteer here. And my son's like, oh, Dad, that'd be awesome. I'd love to.
And how old's your son?
My son is 11.
Okay.
And his name is Rafi. Hi, Rafi. And... So we went to the casting for their Halloween show, and we just had the time of our lives. And once you get involved in the moon, you're moonstruck. You realize what a great, important thing it is for kids and the community, and, you know, you just become – you realize how wonderful it is, and you become kind of obsessed with it. And so we were at the cast party for the Halloween show.
And by the way, Tony, who did you play in the Halloween show?
I was Frankenstein.
And Zach, were you in the Halloween show?
I was also in the Halloween show.
And who did you portray?
I am actually the Green Man of the Valley of the Moon. And when people would arrive and wait for their show to begin, we would sing songs together out in front. And Tony and I brought a couple of songs to share with you today. So maybe we can get the YouTube brothers singing along with us. And that leads right into the event that we're going to be having on February 2nd. It's the first annual Valley of the Moon Campfire Sing-Along.
Very fun.
Yes, we're going to be singing songs from the Beatles, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Raffi, Pete Seeger, basically any folk musician you can name will be singing their songs.
Well, that's great. What time does the event start?
The event goes from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Okay.
There will be marshmallows and s'more stuff provided.
So Fred will be there.
You know, I'm not a big s'mores guy.
No, but you are a marshmallow. And by the way, folks, we got to take a quick break now. I'm just kidding. We do have to take a quick break, so we want to hear more about this event, all right, guys? So, folks, stick around with us. We got to take a quick break, pay the bills. We'll be right back.
And now for something completely different.
Monty Python, the Flying Circus.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
Old Mr. Johnson had troubles of his own. He had a yellow cat that wouldn't leave his home. He tried and he tried to give the cat away. He gave it to a man going far, far away. Here comes. But the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just wouldn't stay away.
Meow.
The man around the corner swore he'd kill the cat on sight. He loaded up his shotgun with nails and dynamite. Waited and he waited for the cat to come around. 97 pieces of the man was all they ever found. But the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. He just couldn't stay away.
And here we are. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstein with my little brother Jeff.
And hola, Tucson.
We've been listening to the dulcet tones
of the Valley of the Moon Singers featuring Tony and Zach.
That's right.
With Fred Jeff as backup vocals.
So we were talking about the Valley of the Moon before the break, and Tony, you were talking about this event coming up, and Zach, you were talking about it. So people can come out to the Valley of the Moon on when?
It's going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock. We're going to – basically the idea
and that's
is –
that's the second, right?
Yes, yes. The idea is that we want to bring back the feeling of sitting around a campfire when you're at camp. We're going to be telling stories, telling jokes, and it's a sing-along. We want everybody to sing along. You can bring your own instruments. We want to get a vibe where somebody wants to sing a song and lead people in a song. They can just start singing a song. Somebody wants to tell a story. It's a very open event.
I want to do a skit.
You can do a skit. You can feel free. You can
get
up on the stage.
We could do a skit.
Oh, boy.
That'd be excellent. That'd be excellent.
Oh, boy. Wait a minute. You guys don't understand what you're getting yourselves into.
You know, camp, you did the sing-alongs. You did the storytelling, the ghost stories specifically. But then they always had skits. Talent show.
Okay, and Fred, what kind of a skit are you thinking about here?
A long red one with a nice hem on it.
Not a skirt. What kind of a skit? You don't know. You're just talking smack again.
Yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Fred, you know, the kind of skits Fred used to do, you know what I'm talking about, Tony, Zach? Think about this guy right here. What kind of skits would he used to do?
I don't know.
Yeah. So
puppet shows.
Puppet shows. So this sounds fun, you guys.
Yeah, we actually came up with the idea because we were at the cast party for the Halloween show, and we were sitting around, and Zach was playing these songs, and we were singing, and Zach and I were starting to get more involved because we had such a great time, and there was no event scheduled for February, and we thought, what about an old-fashioned campfire where everybody sits around and, you know, sings and roast marshmallows, and...
And the weather should be beautiful for that.
Oh, yeah.
It really should be.
It's going to be a very family-friendly event.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Very much.
Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, bring your grandparents, your children, everybody you know. There's room for everyone at the Valley of the Moon.
Now, remind everybody where the Valley of the Moon is.
It is...
it's on Allen.
I can drive you there. I just can't tell you where it is.
It's on Allen Road between Tucson Boulevard and Country Club.
And Allen is one block north of Prince.
That's correct. One block north of Prince.
Right, right, right.
And you can find us on Facebook, Valley of the Moon on Facebook. You can find us at TucsonValleyOfTheMoon.com. And remember, the Valley is actually open every first Saturday of the month. We have an event. And so the events are open to the public. And we love when people come join us. In March or April, there's going to be a big spring show.
Oh, tell us about that.
This is a brand new show written by a cast member from the Valley of the Moon. And the show is called The Crossroads. And I don't want to tell you too much about it, but there's a crossroads in the Valley of the Moon where there's a sign pointing to Narnia and a sign pointing to Rivendell and a sign pointing to Oz. And the show involves fairy tale creatures and your favorite characters from said stories meeting at the crossroads. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's in March or April. So set that on your calendars, too.
And again, very family-friendly.
Oh, yeah. Everything about the Valley of the Moon is family-friendly. From the very beginning, it was imagined as a place for children to use their imaginations and for adults to maybe return to their imaginations.
Very cool. Very cool.
That was the best thing for me. That was the best thing for me in the Halloween show when I was Frankenstein is, it was a lot of hours, a lot of time, but watching the kids' faces just really made it all worth it.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, what do you guys do during the day that allows you to mess around at the Valley of the Moon at night?
I'm a public defender with the county.
Very good. Tony and Zach, what are you up to?
I'm a software developer. I write Macintosh software. And while that's, intellectually inspiring and interesting, there's no real imaginative outlet. So the Valley of the Moon gives me this great place where I can play and have fun and dress up and be silly. It's a wonderful place.
That's awesome. And the other thing is that you guys have been engaged with the Valley of the Moon for not too long of a period of time. So you're a really good example of the folks that when you fall in love with the Valley of the Moon, they let you kind of get involved as much as possible as well.
Yeah, that's certainly true. It's all volunteer run and organized, and there's a cadre of six people who have been doing it for years and years and years. And what the Valley of the Moon really needs is more people to come and volunteer and help. We say the Valley of the Moon needs three things. They need time from volunteers who can garden if they want, or there's electrical projects that need doing or restoration projects. So the Valley needs time. The Valley needs money. So all of our events are generally free. Some of the bigger events, like the shows, there'll be a nominal admission fee.
It is truly nominal. It's like, $5, $3. I mean, it's really inexpensive, especially taking a big family out.
Well, here, we went to the Tesla show this last year. Did you guys go to the Tesla show?
No.
There was a show that they had at the Valley of the Moon, and they had a Tesla cage there. And for those of you listening that aren't familiar with, Tesla is big in electricity. I mean, he was the
Nikola Tesla.
Right. And mm-hmm. So they put a guy on top of this giant cage and ran a zillion volts of electricity through it. It was amazing.
Yeah, Tesla coil.
A Tesla coil, that's right. So it's all kinds of fun, imaginative stuff out
there.
The
Monty Python thing,
the Halloween show,
we
right.
We have holiday shows.
And it's cheap. It's a cheap night out for your family. And most months, it's absolutely free.
That's awesome.
So the Valley needs three things, time, money, and love. So that's the really big one that the Tucson community has oodles and oodles of. I know all the people out there have a lot of love to give. So tell your friends, tell your family, bring your love to our first annual campfire event.
Very
February
cool.
2nd.
Now, here's going to be a big segue going into the next half hour of the show, because Valley of the Moon plays an important role in the hearts of Tucsonans just because it is the center of kindness in our community. It has a long history from the 1920s with George creating this beautiful facility, but it maintains its heart by bringing in other creations, other imaginative things from the community. For example, Magic Carpet Golf, when that went by the wayside, Valley of the Moon gladly brought in three of those pieces from Magic Carpet. They have the big spider web. They have
Camelot, the castle, Camelot.
The castle, Camelot. And they also have the two-faced tree.
The two-faced tree. They also have a it's sort of like a cupcake house, a pygmy hut, perhaps.
Okay, so they have four pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
So the segue that we're talking about is, Valley of the Moon is a great asset in this community. In the next half hour, we're going to be bringing on Carl Susano from Vanishing Tucson. And all these things play a role because those are some of the great things about Tucson, the great character, the great charm, and places like Valley of the Moon are helping to preserve those things. And Carlson's going to be talking about all sorts of of our community history.
Well, and you guys, I want to thank you both a lot, you know, from the bottom of my heart, because what you guys are doing is providing a fun event.
Safe
for families, and you can't have enough of those.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Remember, folks, this coming Saturday, Valley of the Moon, one block north of Prince Road between Country Club and Tucson Boulevard.
I want to request Inagata DeVita.
And now we're going to have to take a break at the bottom of the hour. So we'll see you guys. We'll be back here in about 2 minutes. So stick around.
Thank you very much.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back, Tucson. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the good old program on iTunes.
And we will give out a dozen roses right now if you send an email to fred@fredandjeff.com and let us know the last time Fred tweeted.
Ah, that's hysterical.
Well, you want people to follow us on Twitter, and you're not tweeting.
I did tweet.
When was the last time you tweeted?
Before the show started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. That dozen roses is out there for somebody.
Yeah. So, you know, well, they now know the answer. How about that, Jeff? But people should keep a close ear out while we talk to Carlos, because we'll be giving out a gift certificate to 1702 towards the end of the show.
That's right. Carlos, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jeff.
We'll do a better introduction than that.
Okay. We would like to introduce to all of our fabulous listeners, all you folks out there, when Fred and I were at a different radio station before we came over here to The Truth,
right?
We had this gentleman on our show to talk about this passion of his.
And he was horrible. It was awful.
It's terrible. We never thought we'd have him back again.
He begged.
And then one day I'm driving my car down the street and I saw him there and I thought, hey, there's Carlos. No. And so we figure it's time to get you back. And so who I'm talking about is our guest right now, Carlos Lozano from Vanishing Tucson. And Vanishing Tucson, that's what we're going to talk about. So, Carlos, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jeff. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, buddy. It's been a while.
Yeah. I saw you at the Trader Joe's.
So give our listeners an idea of what Vanishing Tucson is.
Well, it's a website that anyone can go to, and what it is, you could call it history. Basically, what it is people talking about things that they remember from their childhood, and maybe things that their parents would remember, or maybe their grandparents. So we don't go back that far, but what we're doing is celebrating the memories and the way Tucson used to be, and a lot of things about the way Tucson still is, things that have survived that are great about Tucson that we still have. For instance, like, you know, your other guests, Valley of the Moon. I mean, that's something that it could have been bulldozed years ago, but we're lucky to still have it. So that's an example of something that you would remember from your childhood.
Absolutely.
Maybe you jumped the fence as a teenager when it was all emptied
right,
out.
Closed and, up, right.
Yeah, and or your parents would remember it, or maybe even your grandparents. And so something like that. But we talk about on the site, it's interactive, and people talk about things that another historian might consider insignificant, little memories of where they ate at a drive-in, you know, or where they cruised their cars, or where they went to see movies and stuff. And so, and like the post-war period, 40s, 50s, 60s, that's pretty big. And there's a lot of good memories were generated from from that point.
One of the cool things I like about the site is that it's documenting, in some regard, the oral history of our community. Because people talk, you know, you get together with your friends and you're like, hey, remember back when we used to do this? And it's a nice place where that stuff is getting documented. But it's also really cool because somebody will like post a picture and say, hey, I found this picture and I don't remember what it was. Does anybody know? And then you have all sorts of people responding. Or you say, hey, does anybody remember such and such a place? And then everyone responds to that. I mean, it's a great community.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could. You know, I see those all the time, and I could go to the Historical Society, look that stuff up, but I never do because I want to hear people's memories. I want to hear these things to be personalized. I want to hear it's more than just dates and places and names. It's what happened. You know, how did you experience that? People, it's the history of Tucson in terms of experiences. You could compare it, for instance, and some people think that these are insignificant things, but you take something like George Hand's Tucson, that was that diary of a saloon keeper from like the turn of the century, and it was all just little stuff that nobody would be interested in. But 100 years later, yeah, they're very interested in it. It's a great document to have, and so this is sort of like that.
Now wait a second, George Hand's diary of a saloon keeper, was that done in Tucson?
Yeah, yeah.
And where is that?
I think it's in a book format, either that or it'd be available at the Historical Society.
Okay, so it's still kind of floating around somewhere.
Yeah, and that's something that for instance, like Jim Turner would know all about. And so where Vanishing Tucson fits in would be something like you take a great guy like Jim Turner, he goes way back, right? He can go back all the way back to the Old West.
Beyond that, yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And then someone like Ken Scoville, he's another great local historian, and he might do like turn of the century, up through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and then but then it gets a little sketchy. So that's where we fall in is like usually like after World War II, right around there, 50s, 60s. And then you think that's pretty recent, but that's not as recent as it gets. There's actually groups on the web. There's one group in particular on Facebook that is doing, they're chronicling, you know, the 80s and 90s, you know, the music scene and everything like that. And you'd think, and that makes you feel old because you think, I'm not ready, you know.
I'm not ready to be in a history book.
I'm not ready to be in history books. I remember that 80. I remember Flock of Seagulls.
Exactly, yeah.
So how did you, Carlos, where are you from?
I'm from Chicago originally.
And how did you get to Tucson?
I just sort of wound up here about 30 years ago and just fell in love with it, you know, immediately. I think I stopped here on the way out to the West Coast and I thought I have to go back there. And so I made this my home. And I really do believe, I mean, I love natives and stuff, but I think that the non-natives really appreciate this town a lot more. And
we don't take offense to that.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we agree.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Of course, Fred and I are natives, long-standing natives. And when we think of stuff, for instance, my dad likes to tell stories of his Boy Scout troop camping up in the canyons, up in Honeybee Canyon, where it's all developed. And Fred and I are like, wow, that's very cool. But then you don't think about it ever again. But if I tell that story to someone that's not from Tucson, they're like, whoa, all this used to be nothing. There used to be cactus and trees and bunnies running around up here. There was no homes. And you could see the imagination kind of going. And so, yeah, I can see how people that aren't from around here are so much more interested in what Tucson used to be like because we've kind of grown up in it. We've seen it change.
Yeah, there's sort of that feeling. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about going to Washington, D.C., actually the inauguration. And people who – I know a bunch of people who live there, and most of them haven't been to the Lincoln Memorial or on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's in your backyard. How many people from Tucson, born and raised in Tucson, have been – to
all the places we talk about.
Yeah, been to Madera Canyon or to Sabino Canyon. Or how many people live in Arizona have been to the Grand Canyon?
Or crawled through Pepper Sauce.
Or Pepper Sauce Cave, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's – so you're right. Yeah. We agree with you that people that are transplants, they're here for a reason where those of us that are born here are –
Take
things for granted.
So. Absolutely, yeah. And even things that are even less noteworthy than that, for instance, you know, you may have been to – Pat's Chili Dogs, you know, so many times that it just doesn't seem like anything. But you take an out-of-town visitor, if you think about it, and they love it. And I love all that stuff, you know, and, you know, Sue's Fish and Chips or just all these. You know, I'm also involved in the neon signs, and so I always try to to patronize a business that has a great neon sign.
So, and I want to talk about more about that in the next part of the show, the neon signs and all the preservation. But I want to get back to the website. So you started this website how long ago?
It's almost 10 years ago.
So 10 years ago. And this website, for those of you guys out there listening, this website is really a huge repository of people's memories, pictures, stories. I mean, if you've got anything old Tucson that your grandparents or your parents or you have, you can download it on this website and ask and share it with everybody. And it's not, and you said this twice so far in our interview that maybe folks think it's insignificant. It's not. Those are very, very important memories of all of us, you know, growing up in this community. So I think what you're doing is really, really important, because when someone uploads or downloads a picture or they, you know, say something on here, what happens to it? It lives in perpetuity, right?
Yep, absolutely. We have restaurant menus, napkins, you know, and you know, photos of just ephemera, ashtrays, ticket stubs, matchbooks. You know, I mean, like, ask me, like, what would be, like, the weirdest topic that we've ever got.
Carlos, what's the weirdest topic you've ever got?
funny you should ask me. People were talking about where they went, like, what were the makeout spots in the 60s, or where they drag raced. We all know where they cruised, right?
Speedway,
but, yeah,
sure.
But where do you drag race if you seriously want to drag race? And they would talk about that. They also, Tucson has these people who wander around. And you know, like, maybe a little crazy kind of people. And we actually have figured out who they all were over the years. And people out of 1,200 members, you know, there's somebody that actually knew that person, says, oh, that guy, used to be so-and-so, and then his life didn't work out so well. And now he wanders around, you know, wearing a strange hat or, you know.
I mean, there was some bronzed old guy, an older gentleman that was bald. His
on
skin,
his bike.
Yeah, on his bike. He had always wore a little pair of shorts,
like,
and
Speedos.
You'd see him going up and down the streets, riding his bike morning, noon, and night.
Sure, we know who that is. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, folks. Stick around because we have lots more to talk about Vanishing Tucson with Carlos Lozano. So we'll see you in a second.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, everybody.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
It is. It's very wonderful.
And we want people to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And Jeff, you can even subscribe to the show on iTunes.
Thanks, Fred.
So I'm just looking across here, watching you read
no,
your
you
tablet.
Know what I'm doing is I'm sitting here.
I actually
on my
have
tablet.
That same picture up too.
Okay, well, let me explain what I'm doing. So I'm sitting here looking on my tablet at the cover, at the first page of, you know, our guest, Ty Carlos Lozano from Vanishing Tucson, and Vanishing Tucson is this great website, and the cover picture is of mom and daughter standing on a dirt road next to a giant billboard that says Tucson invites you to be happy, be hard to read, to be, what does that say, Fred? To be healthy, invite you to a happy, beautiful,
healthful
stay in the old Pueblo. And there's a picture of San Javier, a big smiling cowboy, and some swore cactuses. Where did you get this picture?
Boy, I'm not sure. That's just an example of all the photos that we get. I wouldn't even know.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really cool. Any idea what year that picture was taken?
Probably 50s.
It's awesome. But you know what? It's very interesting. The you get the sense of what Tucson was known for, because we've had, you know, several guests talk about, you know, they come here for health and all that kind of stuff. But whatever date this was taken, I would imagine it's probably, you know,
it's got to be in the 40s or 50s.
40s or 50s.
I mean, look at what the lady's wearing.
Exactly. The and the style of the art on the billboard.
And folks, we'll post it on our website.
Yeah, the focus is happy, healthful. So that's, you know, that's, you know, that
the old tuberculosis, yeah, and come to Tucson.
They're driving people to Tucson for the health.
So, Carlos, give us, okay, just so folks that missed the last segment of the show, Vanishing Tucson is this great repository for people's memories for here in the Old Pueblo.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got over 1,200 people that subscribe to your website. And they talk amongst themselves. They post pictures. Hey, does anybody remember this? People put their memories on. Very fun stuff. But you've got all kinds of, I guess, topic groups. How, and so give us an idea other than, you know, crazy stuff like we talked about a little while ago. What are some other fun topic groups?
Well, anybody can start any topic they want. I mean, if they're curious about like drive-in movie theaters, you know, we've talked about that before, actually on the show, about how drive-in movie theaters used to be so huge in Tucson. I mean, we had like, I think, 12 screens at one point back in the late 50s, and now we're down to zero. You know, they might be talking about their memories of that, or food is huge. I mean, restaurants, drive-ins, and stuff like that. So they might just start a topic about anything, and it could be very specific or very general. But it's very interactive. It's not just about looking at the photos that are posted there. It's just about, you know, sharing some remembrance, no matter how small. And so that's basically what it's
about.
And
I think that's the charm of the website is, it's funny when you talk to people and they look at a certain place, like this place on Speedway. Oh yeah, that used to be the old XYZ restaurant, or that used to be the old this place or that place. And it's funny how everyone's kind of got a different remembrance of what it used to be. But if you take it in the context of time, they're all right, because lots of places in Tucson over the years were different restaurants,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's, you know, well, McMahon's wasn't always McMahon's Prime Steakhouse. Before that was Johnny Geekus's Palomino. Yeah.
Well, and then silly stuff like if you drove along Speedway at one point, there was a lady, big, you know, concrete lady sitting in a bathtub with a guy standing next to her playing guitar.
Right.
I mean, just
silly. And what was that place, Fred?
I don't know.
Wasn't that like Daddy Jack's Blue Note or something like that?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
because when you're a little kid driving back and forth on Speedway and you see this well-endowed lady in a jug, you're going, hey, let's stop there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you're picking up on the idea of the layers of history. Tucson is a different place to every person, and depending on how old they are and what part of town they lived in, and so we're getting that. So we've got, I don't know, 6,000 messages, and they're all still available in a searchable index, and it forms like this mosaic picture of life in Tucson, and they're all just by these little tiny remembrances all put together. And I don't expect anyone to log into the website and go through all 5,000, but you know, you just jump in where you're at, you know.
And there's something always new on mm-hmm, there too,
mm-hmm.
because it's this living thing, because people are always adding and adding and adding and adding. So you can actually get an alert. Hey, someone just posted something new and fun in this topic that you were following, or something new and fun in a new topic. So that's kind of a fun thing too about your website.
Right, right. And just to be clear, we keep saying Vanishing Tucson, but the website's just vanishingtucson.com.
Okay.
So that
vanishingtucson.com.
Easy to get to, yeah.
Okay, so one of the other things you brought up on the last segment was the historic preservations of the signs. And how
the old neons.
Yeah, the old neons. Tell us more about that.
Right. Well, as you may or may not know, Tucson had a very restrictive sign code. In the 70s and 80s, a lot of signs were couldn't be repaired due to the sign code, and they were torn down. And times changed, and people installed new signs and stuff like this. But we have a great bunch of surviving neon signs, and we went ahead and changed the sign code, amended it slightly to allow for the restoration of these signs. And it has really taken off. It's taken off. They probably the most The one that most people would know is the Diving Girl Downtown.
Oh, yes.
And that's Picaretta and Story's legal offices.
Picaretta Davis, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Davis, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a really beautiful one. And then...
Now, you guys were involved in that?
Well,
take a step back, though. Okay, let pretend like we don't know anything about this. So you guys, and when I say you guys, it's you being involved with the historic preservation group here in town. You guys to say, hey, these neons really represent a great historical treasure of our city. Not just the old motor courts, but all the businesses. And you were able to go to the city council, get them to change the sign code so you could put some money into restoring these old signs. And initially, what did you do with them all?
What do you mean? What do you do with them all?
Well, what you did with them all is you put them all down Miracle Mile.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
There were the best way to restore something and keep it historically accurate is to keep it on site.
Right.
But there were three or four signs that couldn't be kept on site for one reason or another. And so Pima Community College stepped up and says, you can use our frontage along Drachman to display these signs, and they are sort of the stewards now of these signs. They're doing the maintenance, and it's just beautiful. It's like having a mini Las Vegas sign museum and
a little strip.
Yeah, so we've got the Magic Carpet Golf, the Medina's Sporting Goods, the Tropicana, which was iconic on Miracle Mile, you know, for many different reasons, but it's just a beautiful sign. And then the Arizonan Motel. So that's a great example of what you can do with a sign if the business doesn't want it anymore, they can relocate it.
And but then if you're going south on Miracle Mile, before you take that left onto Drachman, there's this big saguaro cactus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that actually is an art project that was done by Dirk Arnold, and that was part of, you know, whenever the city does road work, a percentage of the budget goes to public art, and Dirk Arnold got the contract to create that sign, and so it's more like public art rather than a sign, but it's neon and it's beautiful.
It's awesome, man. And if y'all haven't seen it, it's right there by that old wooden block that says University of Arizona carved into it in white.
Yeah,
right on Miracle Mile, just south. It's south of Grant. Is it south of Speedway too?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's right in the middle of the road. You got to go at night and see it. But that's very cool. And so you guys have spun that whole project.
It's actually north of Speedway.
Yeah, north of Speedway.
Okay, so
yeah,
north of Speedway. But you guys have spun that whole project into the Sparkle Cleaner sign, the girl on diving board sign.
Well, and the Elcon sign was just replaced.
Exactly. Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and that Elcon sign just replaced. Do you have more signs coming out like that you guys are hoping to get?
Yeah. There's a couple of businesses have stepped up and they're working on, you know, the process. It's kind of a long process, but people will help you through. There's people at the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation that are always willing to give a little bit of design help and say, you know, like find old photos to so you can do the restoration correctly and work you through the paperwork because anything having to do with signs, regardless, is involves some paperwork.
Right. I mean, there's some signs I just would love to see redone, like the neon in front of Caruso's.
That's coming.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Back in the day, the fork used to come up,
yeah,
and down.
Up and down with the spaghetti.
Yeah, yeah,
that was great. Carlos, thanks so much for what you're doing. I mean, what you're doing is so important to guys like Fred and I, and hopefully, and I know a lot of other people.
I mean, but anyone coming to the El Pueblo, it's a great repository to get a sense of the community.
And how do people get onto your website? I mean, how do they join?
Well, put in vanishingtucson.com, and then you will have to jump through a hurdle just to keep out the spammers, because if there's a group, you can't have it wide open, otherwise it'll be advertising Viagra. But so if you can just go through that, then you'll be in. And look around at the photos and just click on things. People, that's the thing is that some of the target people that we want, the demographic of like the older people, sometimes they're a little bit afraid to do things on the web. They don't want to click on something. But once you're in the group, just click on anything and it'll all lead to good things, you know, whether it's photos or
stories,
messages.
Or anything.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Carlos, thanks for what you do. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be here and great to talk to you guys. You guys have more stories than I do.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we make ours up.
Folks, thanks for tuning in to the Fred Jeff Show. Fred, you got something to give away?
Yeah, we have a gift certificate to to 1702 Craft Pizza and Craft Beer.
1702 East Speedway. For the first person that emails Fred, and what do they have to do, Fred?
Name three of the signs that have recently been restored
Perfect.
In the Old Pueblo.
Perfect. All right, folks. Thanks again for tuning into the Fred and Jeff Show. Please support our sponsors. And, you know, I'll just throw it out there. If you've got a great idea or somebody that you know that's making a difference in your community, let us know about them because we might like to highlight them. Let everybody know how they're making Tucson a better place. So get out and meet your neighbor. Enjoy this fantastic weather. And have fun at the golf tournament and the rodeo and anything else that you're doing.
And puppets.
And puppets, yeah.
Valley of the Moon.
And we'll see you next week.
Life is love in a neon rainbow. A neon rainbow. Moving lines, flashing signs, blinking faster than the mind. Leading people with suggestions.